Blog Talk Radio.
What's up, everybody? Welcome to another edition of WFSO's Fan View. We got some topics to talk about today. Talk about Raw and SmackDown review, a little bit of wrestling news and stuff like that, and plus my point of view of the week segment, and much, much more.
Excuse me, our point of view of the week.
Everybody?
Hello?
What's that?
Hey, how's it going?
All right. So I'm going to talk about a topic that that just came to me like a couple hours ago, which was just kind of weird for somebody to say something like this. Somebody said in the wrestling group that you're not a true wrestling fan if you're a fan of John Cena or Roman Reigns. So, and I know Kerry is a big like Roman Reigns fan, so I know you're going to have a lot to say about that. So what's your take on that statement?
Can you guys hear me?
Yeah, I can hear
you.
Okay. I have to disagree on that statement because you don't have to be a Roman Reigns or a John Cena fan to be a real fan. I've been a wrestling fan all my life. So I don't know where people are getting this statement from. I mean, I personally, everybody knows I'm not a John Cena fan, but I am a Roman Reigns fan. There are a few wrestlers that I'm not fans of. Maybe it's because of their storyline. I don't know. Maybe I just don't have a feel for them as a wrestling talent. It's really hard to say, but I have to disagree with the statement they made. That's not the persona that people should be taking. They should be taking a persona of wrestling as a whole, not just about two people.
Right. That's a good point. Mark?
I'd have to disagree as well. Even though I'm not a fan of either of the wrestlers, they are just that. They're wrestlers. They work their way up to the ranks. They're on TV. They get paid to compete and perform professionally. So you can say you're not a fan of them or you don't agree with their character or whatever you want to say. But they are, in fact, wrestlers, and it is wrestling.
Right, exactly. Because I know, like, a lot of people that comment on that post disagree with it, and it's just like I said, like, you ain't got to be a pro wrestling fan just because you're this fan of this person, whatever. Because there's more than, like, one wrestler that you can be a and that's, like, you know, well, a true wrestling fan does. They can be a fan of more than one person, or they attend the shows, they attend to like indie shows, and vice versa.
Right, that's like saying all the indie wrestlers aren't wrestlers because they're not on TV. But that couldn't be further from the truth. If anything, they're more wrestlers than the ones on TV. But regardless, they're all wrestlers. That's their source of income. That's what they do. Maybe not primarily source of income, like John Cena likes to make movies and stuff, but he's a wrestler.
But see, the biggest take on this is we talked about a couple of things a few weeks ago on our show on like how the wrestling audience has changed since we've been wrestling fans. Like it's more geared to be a fast-paced, fast-moving show, and it's into about like the crowd who are in their 20s. And if you don't have their attention, they're all about looking in their phone, being bored, doing something else, talking to the person next to them, whatever the situation may be. So the 20-year-olds do not have a clue on what wrestling was like 30-some years ago. They only know what's about it today. So they're judging on today's stuff. They're not judging as a whole.
Yeah, I do agree that today's like fans have, you know, see wrestling different than some of us have been watching, you know, like in the 90s and the 80s and the 70s and just going back and forth like that. So, like, I know, like, there's, like, suddenly they're trying to, you know, adapt to that or just try to do like fast pacing or just whatever pace does make the crowd like interested in what they're doing. But just hopefully, you know, they can, something that they can work on, and hopefully, you know, some of these fans, you know, try to, you know, learn more about the history of wrestling as well as knowing about today's wrestling. There was something else that was posted up that I think this person had went out of line and said, like, I hope Roman's daughter gets raped and killed so he won't make it to SummerSlam. F Roman Reigns. So, yeah, there's somebody on Twitter that went that far to say that.
Well, as we say in the wrestling world or any type of personal statement, karma's a bitch. And for people to say that, it's going to come back to you times three. That is uncalled for. That's very, very, very sad. But whatever you statement you make will always come back to you.
Yeah, I think that's a horrible statement to hear, whether they said it in kidding or whether they said it to get a rise. It's just not something – you don't wish something ill upon somebody. I never do. Yeah, it's not called for.
It's just, I guess it's like the, just like we were saying about the, this past segment that, I guess it's today of fans is like, but then again, it was some of that was going on in the 90s. You got like people saying Die Rocky died. And like the same thing with some of these like, other wrestlers in the past decade. It just, I don't know, it's just insane, and just don't know why people would think that way to just wish somebody, you know, daughter's death and or just wish death on any wrestler. Just,
yeah. I mean, back in the day, it was, I mean, you don't want to, I wouldn't say it would be acceptable to wish anything bad on a wrestler's family, but back in the day it was, you know, really commonplace to wish bad things on wrestlers because back in the day, everybody thought it was 100% real, and they thought if you were a bad guy, you were really a bad guy. So I'm surprised more violence hasn't happened in the past, but nowadays they could never do that because somebody would end up getting shot or stabbed. But back, you know, it's just a persona that they portray back then, but people thought it was real. Now that you know that these are professional athletes, they're being paid to perform and they have this persona that's not really them, I, you know, to wish something bad on somebody's family and not even really know who they are just because you don't like their persona is, I mean, it's irreprehensible. You know what I mean? It's terrible.
That's crossing the line.
Yeah.
Yeah, you understand, like, you know, how some people, like, work with their character, like, they probably, you know, behaving and stuff, then, you know, people be really, you know, get upset over that and probably say something crazy like that. I guess you can kind of understand that, but I guess it's just like with today's, how wrestling is today, I guess it's some of us just like growing older and just like have more respect for wrestling than, I wouldn't say we didn't have respect for it in the past, but I'm just thinking that I think like we grow older and we have more respect for it now than we did. I could be right along that statement, but.
Well, the way people are raised now is different than the way they were raised then. I mean, stuff that you would do when you were younger, dude, they get away with so much more. So it's all, you know, I hate to say it, but it's leniency on the kids, and they take it to one extreme to another, and it's not only in wrestling, it's in life in general. You know what I mean?
Right.
I guess thank God for the generation that, you know, from the past and so that I'll just keep it like that. Other news, I guess Hulk Hogan has said something in his tweet, talking about something they're going to have going on October 27th. So he said this in, quote, October 22nd, the biggest day ever. History will be made again in the world of wrestling. Too Sweet Hollywood Hulk Hogan for life. So, what would be your take on what you think that was his planning or what announcement that he's going to make on that day?
He's getting inducted into the Hall of Fame. That's
he's already
my
in the Hall
biggest
of Fame.
Guess.
He's already in the Hall of Fame.
Oops.
Yeah, you got reinstated back to the Hall of Fame.
I don't follow Hulk Hogan, so.
My guess is there's going to be a NWO. Appearance. I know Nash was hurt. I've seen him working out on Instagram and stuff. Maybe he's okay to do a little bit. I don't know how Hall is, but I'm pretty sure they're going to just do something NWO.
Okay.
They're going to be interesting because I know some people are speculating like maybe he'll have like a big show like they're doing with All In and with the Chris Jericho Cruz thing. So I guess they're speculating on something like him putting on a show or something like that. So if that's the case, what do y'all think and what's y'all speculation if he does decide to do something like a show like that?
Well, if they do a show like that, whether you like Hogan or you don't like Hogan, there's a lot of people out there that are going to like him and his guest, and I think it'll be huge. I mean, look at what StarCast is doing in Chicago. If you look at the lineup, it's mostly people that have already had their heyday, people that are up-and-comers, and indie wrestlers. I mean, yeah, you got Cody Rhodes and...
The Young Bucks
and whatever. I still consider ROH indie, even though some people may not. But there's no WWE stars there that are current WWE stars, per se. And that show is huge. So if you take Hogan and he combines with Vince McMahon and they have something like that where it's going to be those stars, that's big dollars. It's going to be a big show, and it's going to get a lot of attendance. It's going to be like WrestleMania.
Yeah, I'm looking at this right
now. No, go ahead.
I'm looking at this right now about the Hogan thing, where Mark was calling it about a show or whatever, and it says he was teasing about an NWO reunion on social media. And they were at his Hogan's Beach Shop. Him, Nash, and Hall were at the Hogan's Beach Shop in Orlando on Thursday afternoon. And Hogan was sporting his Hollywood black beard. The store was closed for a few hours, and a camera crew was filming the NWO originals. It's not known if it was a WWE camera crew. So if this does go through and this does pan out, I think people are going to watch this, and WWE is going to make money off of it. So I'm going to have to agree with Mark. I'll watch it just to see what they're going to do on this show. We'll see if I like it or not. But
a lot of people are going to watch it just to see what it is.
Yeah, so y'all both thinking that it's going to be like a – y'all both thinking it's going to be like a WWE event.
I don't know if it's going to be a WWE event. I think it's just going to be one of those televised shows like how Miz and Mrs. is. They could make a TV, like a show out of it. But I don't. Maybe we'll see a recreation of NWO reunion in WWE. That could be a wild guess. I don't know.
We'll find out next coming week.
Yeah, I think it's got something to do with the WWE because him and Vince have been talking, we'll say. So I think it has something to do with them. I don't know how much, but if this idea was pitched to Vince or Vince came up with this idea or Triple H or whoever for the WWE, it didn't take me very long to see dollar signs, and I'm sure it wouldn't take them very long to see dollar signs either. So if they're attached, they're going to make money.
Right, and
yeah.
Think about that day. That date is like the day before the Evolution pay-per-view, too.
There could be some major. I mean, maybe WWE's trying to get really, really creative and do some surprises that, you know, like right now we're not sure what's going to go on with this NWO thing. So,
Wonder is going to be, this is going to be interesting to see what it is and come up. And plus, this announcement is going to be the day before the Evolution pay-per-view. It's like, what's the plan? What's going to be the trick and what's going to be going on? So that will be interesting.
Right.
Right. also, there's a story out there that it's a possibility that Matt Hardy on the possibility of retiring pretty soon. So, what do you guys think about that?
Did it say why he'd be retiring? Because if it's not health related, he's got to be financially set then, but he's got little kids, so maybe he wants to spend family time. Because right now he's still a huge draw. And it's not that I see him falling out of the favor of fans that would force him to retire. So it's either him wanting to spend time with his family or he's injured and we don't know it.
Yeah, I'm looking on Google with my phone, and somebody named Joel Cronin, they do the Joel Cronin show on YouTube, and he is saying that, I didn't watch, it's a 3.5-minute clip, but there's a 3.5-minute clip when you Google Matt Hardy retiring, that his last match is at SummerSlam. So it looks like we see the B team winning the titles.
Wow.
But there could be, from what we've seen, we'll talk about Raw in a little bit, but from what I've seen on Raw, it could be more than just them two. I'm thinking there's more to this as the weeks go on. There might be more tag teams added to this match.
Do you think of the possibility of maybe a fatal four-way or something like that?
Could be. We can talk about it now, or we could talk about it when we get to the Raw part of it. But yeah, think about what you saw, what we saw on Raw, what the WWE Universe saw on Monday. I know we're not going to talk about predictions or what could happen, but it's kind of, to me, it seems like it's going in that direction. I mean, you saw the Revival come out. You saw just tag team after tag team come out, like, complaining,
well, I
wasting
must admit,
time, all that.
I read a little bit about Raw. I did not watch any of it this week. I didn't have a chance. I did see SmackDown in its entirety. So when it comes to Raw, I'm going to be very lacking.
All right. Over the weekend, they did add it that there will be a United States Championship match at SummerSlam with Jeff Hardy versus Shinsuke Nakamura. And I know people were thinking that maybe it could have been Jeff Hardy versus Randy Orton, but I'm just trying to think, what's Randy Orton going to do? Is he going to fight somebody, or is he just going to interfere in the match? So
I got an opinion on that. I got an opinion on that when we get a chance.
No, go ahead.
Well,
this is another thing that I'm seeing. I don't know, maybe it's my woman's intuition or my wrestling intuition kicking in. I don't know, or if WWE plays it correctly, but like I said, I don't want to spoil it because we're not even close to SummerSlam. Guesses on what would happen, but I think Randy Orton is going to be a part of that, and I won't say how. But yes.
Possible, maybe. Well, that's going to be interesting because if it's going to, you know, part of it as in like a triple threat match or so that's going to be interesting because they already have like a, no, they kind of added, but we're going to talk about SmackDown and all that stuff in a bit. But it's possible you think that they're going to try to do that United States Championship match as a triple threat, maybe just tease something on this Tuesday.
That's what I'm going for. Because, okay, you have to see it where, because Randy Orton, of course, is one of my favorites on my top 10. So you have to see from my point of view, he's been gone 60 days. You have to see him coming back as a heel, and you have to see him be, like, hungry for a title. So I'm thinking they're starting him, since there's nothing to put him right now, and I don't think he's ready for the Universal title. There's busy stuff going on with the Universal title. They're going to throw him in the United States title. Or he's going to turn on Shinsuke, too. It's going to be a double cross. Because, you know, he doesn't care who he likes. I mean, he's pissed off at Jeff Hardy. I mean, he turned on Jeff Hardy. He can turn on anybody. He's a legend killer. I think he's using the legend killer tactic.
I'd like to see him go back to be the legend killer. I think those days are gone. But, yes, I agree they're going to somehow involve him with that match. They just haven't figured out. Well, they probably have figured out. We just haven't figured out how it's going
to
happen yet.
No, I'm right. Triple threat. We just got to lead up to that point. See, there's so many ideas that WWE could get from us because we've been fans of wrestling for a long time. It's like, hello, you know, I can give you some ideas. You guys could have, like, the greatest pay-per-view. But again,
yeah,
you know, it could be predictable because they're going in that direction.
Yeah, but it's now a family-orientated show, and it's very predictable. And I think it is because the adults can predict it. It's just not predictable for the children that watch it. And when I say children, I'm talking, I don't know, 17 or under, 16 under. Anybody older than that's got to be able to figure it out.
I don't think the 20-year-olds can focus on it either. I don't think they, like AJ was saying, with people making remarks on social media, it's like, you guys don't know Diddly Squat. You guys were in diapers when we were watching professional wrestling. So I don't foresee them knowing anything.
I think all the 20-year-olds that are listening, if there are any, probably just don't like you know.
I think that's probably interesting. Let's get to Monday Night Raw. Right down there, I'm going to talk about the results that I got. I probably didn't see all of this entirety because when you watch it on a certain channel, they only show, like, certain matches and certain segments. Baron Corbin defeated Finn Balor. Alicia Fox defeated Natalya. Jinder Mahal somehow defeated Braun Strowman. Seth Rollins won by disqualification against Drew McIntyre. And Bayley and Sasha Banks beat the Riot Squad.
There was also a segment with Paul Heyman and Brock Lesnar throughout the entirety where, if you guys recall last week's Raw, where Kurt Angle gave them an ultimatum that Paul Heyman had to produce Brock Lesnar at the show this week. So he did, but then it went further, and he's like, well, he's got to get in the ring, and he's got to make an appearance. Brock Lesnar was constantly, like, on the couch, chilling, reading a magazine. It was just funny because if you guys were on Facebook a lot, people were photoshopping his magazines. It was hilarious.
Right.
It was so funny. One of them said how to be a real champion or how to show up at a show as a champion or something like that. It was so funny. And, like, kids' books. The little choo-choo train. Oh, my God, it was hilarious. But, yeah, and Brock Lesnar refused to go out there. But long story short, eventually he did. He made his appearance, and he did F5. Damn, who the heck? See, I have block. Now I have wrestling block. Who the hell did he F5? But anyways, I'll come back to that when I think about who he F5'd, but he did kind of block Paul Heyman. He got knocked him on the ground. He kind of blocked Paul Heyman's breathing ability. He's like, I can't breathe, I can't breathe, I can't breathe. Oh, it was Kurt Angle. He F5'd Kurt Angle. More than once. So he made his little five-minute appearance, and that's how the show ended. So it was kind of blah. So that's another part that happened on Raw.
Right. Well, back to those memes that people were doing about the Brock Lesnar reading, like, magazine. They had, like, a bunch of stuff. Like, they had Triple H on the cover with the shovel. They had Sable Playboy magazine on the cover of that.
It was funny as heck. It was so funny. People were photoshopping stuff all of they. I think the one of them was there was a Dr. Seuss one too. How to do the ham and eggs one. It was funny.
That is just crazy. Ronda Rousey will make her Raw debut wrestling next week against Alicia Fox. What do you guys expect from that match?
Interference.
What do I hope for?
Interference.
I think
Ronda Rousey's going to get her in the armbar, and it's going to be interfered.
Yeah, I expect it's going to be a very short-lived match. Unless something from the outside changes it, they're going to make Alicia Fox look like a inept character. What should happen is it should be somewhat long and Alicia should show off some talent. I don't think it's going to happen. I think Ronda Rousey is going to go up there and just destroy her. And then somebody's going to come in and maybe get her attention or somehow distract her, and Alicia may pick up the win or something like that, but it's going
to
be embarrassing.
I have to agree. I think Alexa's going to distract Ronda Rousey.
Yeah, I think ultimately Ronda Rousey's going to lose the match, but she's going to embarrass Alicia.
It can either go quickly and Ronda Rousey will pick up her debut, or Alexa Bliss is going to cause her to lose and distract her, and Alicia Fox will probably roll her up and win. It's going to be a filler match, I think.
I was thinking more of a count-out.
I guess part of me just thinking that I do agree with Kerry that it could be interference. I think Mark said that too. The match could be, maybe short-lived. There's, like, a lot of possibilities that they could do that match and that angle. Which they got like a couple of weeks left. So it's mainly they're going to try to, make something interesting. So.
Yeah, I don't foresee it being an interesting match because, it's Alicia Fox. I mean, I love the girl. She's really a nice person to meet and talk to and whatever. But I think, we were just saying how it could be, like, short-lived and just one of those where it's just going to make no sense to even have this match. It could get interfered before it even starts.
Yeah, that's a good point. Let's go on to SmackDown, which surprisingly they only had like 3 matches.
I thought it was the worst SmackDown.
The Bar defeated the Usos to advance, so they're going to face the New Day next week. And the winner will the Bludgeon Brothers for the tag team titles at SummerSlam. Zelina Vega went against Lana. She won her debut match. And a returning Charlotte defeated Carmella, which makes that SmackDown Women's Championship match a triple threat match.
Yep,
so
I have a theory on that, too.
Now, I guess we got Mark's thoughts on where you thought of SmackDown.
Yes. SmackDown was not a very good show. I did look forward to the Lana versus Rosita, or what's her name now? Vega?
Vega.
Yeah, I was a fan of hers in TNA. I met her in real life. Wonderful person. Glad she picked up a win on her debut. Not a fan of how the match went down. Not a fan of how the show went down.
I was a little pissed off that Aiden English had to interfere in this match, and then Lana lost the match because, I don't know, Lana could have possibly had the chance of beating her, which sucks because Aiden English got involved because they got nothing for him to do. It's like, how many times do we have to tell you, WWE, stop making people interfere in matches? You're not listening. It just gets blasé.
My
best take on SmackDown, of course, you know, Daniel Bryan calling out The Miz. Best part of SmackDown.
Yeah, I didn't purposely. I watched SmackDown live, and I had Raw DVR'd. SmackDown was so bad, I decided not to watch Raw. Now, maybe I should have watched Raw, but it just left such a bad taste in my mouth that the show was that bad, I didn't want to watch any more WWE programming. If you know what I mean, it was that.
I can say that Raw wasn't really that bad, but as you can tell from my take, I thought Raw did do better this week than SmackDown.
I thought the kid in the
SmackDown
playground
just
on the
like
street
way,
did better.
Way worse.
Yeah,
oh,
was
that
a good show? I said I thought the kids down the street in the playground did better.
So there's no vote from Mark on Raw or SmackDown. Neither one did it. And
well, Raw
AJ,
had to
you
do
say
it.
Raw?
Yeah, it had to be Raw.
I don't know. I'm on the fence with you two again. I might be the outcast.
Really? You're going to pick SmackDown? Then
I'm
glad I didn't
probably
watch Raw.
I'm probably going to do neither. I don't think none of them topped it this week. Even though, because, you know, SmackDown had the repeat of Randy Orton attacking Jeff Hardy. Like I said, the only good part of what I saw on the show was, well, of course, Charlotte coming back and beating Carmella. It's like, good, it's about time Carmella lost. About time. My best part, Daniel Bryan calling out The Miz and The Miz being on social media all this week. And like, you want to know my response to Daniel Bryan's challenge at SummerSlam? No, no, no.
Wrestling I saw on TV this week would have nothing to do with an actual show. It was a news story on Bulletproof Ben McCoy, how he got shot in the face and that now he's for Frontline Pro Wrestling and how it supports vets. I don't know if either one of you caught it on Channel 58. It was
a very good story.
Father,
I didn't get the chance to watch it yet.
Yeah, it was the story.
I didn't even know about this.
Yeah, the story on Friday was about 3 or 4 minutes long, and then they redid it on Sunday, and it was longer. I'm going to guess it was shorter than 8 minutes, you know, but it's a very good, quick story on the guy and what he supports. And I've met him before. I'm sure we've all met him. We've all seen him perform if you went to a local show.
Yep.
And I give him props, and I don't mean to give him a shout-out. We're supposed to talk about stuff that everybody knows, and not everybody may know him. But I hope he does well, and I thank him for his service.
Hear, hear. Me too.
Exactly. But for people that probably don't know that, his ring name beforehand was Mickey McCoy. Some people don't, they didn't know that.
Right.
And I did say, if anybody's out there that knows what Mondo Lucha is in Milwaukee, it's a really big luchador show. He will be at that if anybody cares to catch him there. I don't know what else he's going to be at that I can give him a push at other than his Frontline Pro Wrestling. But they did say he's going to be at Mondo Lucha.
Yeah,
I'm there.
Next month.
I'm there.
You know, matter of fact, I just picked up my ticket and I have it in my hand. It's Friday, September 7th, Turner Hall Ballroom, 1040 North 4th Street at 7 p.m.
Definitely go see the show. This will be my third Mondo Lucha. I've been going for the past 2 years. Very good show.
Yeah, I got to try to go. Just hopefully I'm not working that day, so... We'll see, because every time I want to go somewhere and work, I'm just always tired afterwards, but hopefully I'll make
it
to that one. There was something I was reading earlier today as well that it was with the WWE's women's division, and I guess it was the likes of saying that that is mainly they, of course, you know who they want to be representing WWE as their champion or whatnot. But it seems like some people, of course, we expressed it like maybe like after Money in the Bank that people wasn't happy with, you know, with Alexa Bliss winning it. But and I guess some people, you know, it seems like they really, like, turn on her. But you know how some fans are, you know, first they like her, then they turn on her.
Right.
Yeah, I guess the thing is, it's like, let me see, how can I explain this? Like, it seems like Vince McMahon, like, has a type, like a female wrestler that he wants to represent his brand. Like, it has to be the blonde and beautiful, and if they have like a ring skills or white skills, anything like that, that'll be a bonus. And there's some people that's like getting upset because what about this women's revolution that they're talking about? And it seems like all they doing is just picking people that, as they claim to represent the brand that can't wrestle and things like that. What is your take on what you think WWE is doing with the women's revolution? Go with Terry.
Thanks. I mean, from what we heard, they're doing, of course, Raw and SmackDown people, plus NXT, because we saw the NXT champion there. Plus, they're making the Mae Young Classic all intertwined in that too. So it all depends who's going to get involved in this evolution. You know, I don't know if Lita still can wrestle or not. I don't know if Trish is going to do it or not. But we really have to see who's going to be out there. They just like we saw at the Royal Rumble, they brought back Kelly Kelly and they brought back, you know, people and Tori Wilson, and they're probably still going to bring them back again. So it's going to be interesting to see old school wrestling to see if they still got it compared to how the new people wrestle today. That's what I would really want to see. See a big comparison to see if the new people can catch on the former WWE women superstars and see if they can correlate together in the ring. Because right now, like, you see the women's wrestlers, you know, sometimes, like, you can see their screw-ups on TV. It's like, ooh, you kind of, like, your move that you just did, you've missed it by inches, or you meant to step on somebody and you went over them. Like, lots of wrestling errors. So it'll be interesting to see.
Well, I agree they're going to have people from the past, the present, and their future brand NXT there. The people from the past, you did mention, you know, like Tori Wilson, I'm sure she'll be there. Kelly Kelly will be there. It'd be nice to see Stacy Keibler make an appearance. Ivory, Jazz, any of those superstars from the past, if they show up, it'll just to get a pop. Even Trish and Lita. I don't think any of those past superstars, whether they were a champion or not, are going to be in-ring competitors more than just a fraction of time. The WWE has looked beyond them. However, they need some of them for the recognition of the women's women's area. But it's going to be more about, you know, Alexa Bliss, Charlotte Flair, Oksana, everybody that's current, and maybe a breakout superstar we haven't really seen yet coming from NXT. I do agree that if you think about all the stars from the past that had championship belts, they are primarily, you know, beautiful blondes. Alexa Bliss, she can wrestle and she can't talk on a mic, so she's deserving. Trish Stratus, wonderful on the mic at times, gorgeous to look at, phenomenal for wrestling back then. So she was deserving as well. I think Lita was kind of given the shaft a little bit back then. She should have had the championship more times. She got hurt. I hope that they incorporate more with, other than the stereotypical blonde, you know, I'd like to see it expand and actually be more than just eye candy. I'd like to see an actual wrestler. The eye candy part's nice, though. I'm not complaining.
Of course you're not.
I'm not.
But what do y'all think how the current champions of Alexa Bliss and Carmella, how are they doing as being champions right now? What is y'all take on that?
I think Alexa's doing fine.
Yeah, I think Alexa Bliss is more of a champion, even though she's smaller in stature, and Carmella's taller. And if you look at it, Alexa Bliss is more of the underdog type character because she's smaller and she runs from certain people. And, you know, Ronda Rousey's had her way with her, Nia Jax, but yet she keeps coming up on top, you know. Where if you look at Carmella, she's more of like, oh, well, look at, I had this person interfere with me. Oh, look at this person. And they're, I don't know. I think Carmella is not, she couldn't do it by herself where Alexa Bliss's character doesn't need anybody. Carmella's character needs support and interference from other people. And I think Alexa Bliss has more mat skills than Carmella. Carmella is probably comparable as far as hotness, maybe even more for some people. So she's the typical, put her on TV, she's hot, and people will watch her. I know I follow quite a few wrestlers on Instagram and whatever, and I think it was Renee Dupree, when he saw her make her debut, he was going Googa Gaga over her, and so were some other ones from the past. So I know a lot of other wrestlers really like her compared to some of the other superstars. But I think Alexa's a better wrestler and better champion.
Yeah, I think I have to agree. I think WWE is doing two different sides to it. They don't want the same persona on Raw and SmackDown. They want two different versions. So you got Alexa with the athleticism and the charisma and the mic skills, while you have Carmella trying to just be like, I think she tries to seem like she's full of sex appeal, even though it is a family show. But, you know, she's moonwalk, she tries to trash talk, and, you know, she's kind of like a bad heel of, like, The Miz on how, you know, you cheat to win, you can't do it on your own, but you talk on the mic like you confident yourself up, like, I beat Charlotte Flair twice. I beat Asuka twice. Whoever competes with me, Carmella is money, please. And then you got, like, we were talking about, like, how Mark was talking about how, you know, Rene Dupree was going goo goo gaga over some, was it Alexa, Mark?
No, he was going over Carmella.
Or Carmella. And I hear Corey Graves, if you listen to Corey Graves commentating when Alexa Bliss is out there, God, I was like, dude, you're married, shut up. Just, ugh. Like, he does the same goo goo gaga thing with Alexa. Like, any blonde. Like, Alexa, he does that with Mandy. Like,
well,
please.
Mandy Rose is pretty.
She is.
I'm married,
I mean, I've
as well,
met her.
And
she's
nice. I'm sure there's a lot of married guys that look at beautiful women. But you can't tell me that you don't look at attractive guys. I can mention
Well, heck
Miz
yeah,
and
I
Robbie
do.
E,
duh. Look at who my number one is.
Yeah, so if I say that this one's eye candy or that one's pretty, or whoever says that, you can't knock us. We're not knocking you for liking The Miz.
No, I've never said anything like that. But it's like, we don't want to hear this. We don't want to hear the same damn thing every week. We just, like, we know, we get your point. We know. We don't need to say it over and over. It's like, dude, shut up. It seems like it's the same commentating over and over and over again. It's like, you've already put her on a pedestal. You already did this week after week after week. You have nothing more to say. Call the action. Don't call about how pretty or how blah, blah, blah it is. That's just my take.
But I guess I can see their point. But you know, he also does that with Carmella as well.
Mm-hmm. Yep. Annie Blonde, Carmella, Mandy, Alexa. Yep. I don't see him doing it much with Natalya, but those three I do.
Well, it depends. You know, Tyson Kidd still works there. And if you say the wrong thing about a man's wife, whether it's meant to come out wrong or not, he'd probably have to deal with Tyson Kidd. And even though Tyson Kidd is not an active wrestler and he doesn't do anything in the ring, if you did upset him, I'm pretty sure Tyson Kidd could take care of you.
Oh, I'm pretty sure, too. Well, yeah, I forgot he's behind the scenes, too.
Right, which
go
ahead.
I was going to say, if you say something about Carmella, you don't have to worry about the big Kaz anymore. And even if you did, he was more of a persona than he was an actual threat. And when it comes to Alexa Bliss, I'm not sure who she's with, but Tyson Kidd is
last
not
time
somebody.
She was engaged with one of the guys from NXT. I forgot his name. I can look that up real quick.
Not Buddy Murphy, but the other guy.
Yeah.
Buddy
Murphy. I thought that's what his name was.
Oh, it was Buddy Murphy?
Yeah, you're right. Thanks, AJ. You're on top of it.
I just remember them teaming up in NXT, and plus, like, Buddy Murphy is on 205 Live right now. And
yeah, I just saw that.
This is kind of quick. Yeah, but back to the... So, do y'all think that of course it's obvious that Vince McMahon had a type, but do you think, like, he's kind of wrong with his type, and you think that affected some of the other ladies, like, pushes in WWE?
I think early on, like when you had Ivory as the champion and Jazz and stuff, the women's division was not as respected
classy.
And revered.
Classy.
So it was classy, and those women had talent, and they were wrestlers. But the thing is, he was trying to draw in viewers and people that wanted to see this. So you look at how many people want to watch women wrestle versus how many people want to watch a very attractive woman scantily dressed run around in the ring. That's why you brought in Paul, you know, the Jello, the bra and panties, the pillow fights, all that other stuff. And that sold more than actual mat wrestling. So when you took out, you know, your Ivory, your Jazz, who else you wanted to put in there that could actually wrestle, then you were left with, okay, what does the public want to see? They want to see legs. They want to see busty women. They want to see some, you know, butts. So you look at Trish Stratus, perfect build, put her on TV. Stacy Keibler, nice long legs, put her on TV. Tori Wilson, beautiful blonde, put her on TV. Lita, she's pretty hot redhead. She can wrestle too, huh? Throw her on TV. So the whole image of the women's division changed, and he put hot girls on TV, and it got more viewers. So was he wrong to do that? Well, no, not really, not from his point of view, because he was looking at it for dollars and cents. Where could he make more money? And obviously what was marketable was the hot-looking female versus the ones that could wrestle. Now he's trying to crossbreed that and have hot females that can wrestle. So he wants a hybrid of what he had in the past. And if he can accomplish this with this evolution, it'll be better than both versions of the women's division before, because he can get both markets instead of appealing to one or the other.
Hmm.
I have to agree. I actually have to agree with Mark on this because, yeah, you know, as you say, if you want your business to thrive, you got to do what you got to do to make it thrive. So, even though Vince McMahon is saying that this is a family show, he finds other ways to still get the certain look, the certain charisma, the certain talent, the certain persona to mix, to have the viewers be attracted to what they're watching, whether it's live, whether it's on the TV, whether it's in appearances, you know, when they make their appearances, whether it's in movies. He knows what he's doing. Of course he knows what he's doing. He learned from his dad. Now it's him. And, you know, pretty soon it's going to be the kids and Triple H or whatever. But, yeah, I'm going to have to agree with Mark on this, actually, that, yeah, he's blending it in to do what he's got to do to keep the WWE business alive.
Yeah, I do agree with you guys that he would, you know, he does whatever it takes, you know, to keep business running. But I guess, like, with the women today that, you know, the ones that can, like, actually wrestle, and plus he's getting, like, some of the indie talent that's coming on the roster, as you see it with the Mae Young classes, you've seen, like, NXT and some of the women we got on the roster today that, you know, some of them were, like, from the indies. And I'm just, like, what I'm trying to ask is, like, what if he would have brought back, like, that other stuff that he did in the past, like with the bikini match or Raw Pages match or just whatever the case. Do you think that if he did it now, would it be successful today, or do you think it's successful as it is right now?
I am kind of on the fence on this topic only because, yeah, we've seen over the couple, I don't know how long, but we've seen it for a while that they're starting to bring back stuff that was back then. Like, you know, for example, Animal and Hawk, Legion of Doom. Then we had the Powers of Pain. Now we have, I forgot what they call them, Authors of Pain, you know. So they're kind of recreating things, but just with different people. So I would have to say, for because of the audience being a different audience than what it used to be ages ago, I think it would work. Depending who's in it. Depending who's in it, it would work.
I think there's two things that sell more than anything else, and you could argue these facts, and I don't think you'd win. Sex and violence sell a lot. So if you make them sexier and you do Attitude Era stuff, yeah, you're still going to make money and you're going to sell. The problem with that now is the snowflake generation where everything is offending everybody. So you have to be very touch and go in what you do, because before you know it, you'll have somebody boycotting or somebody suing you or somebody, you know, it's just, it's not the same world as it was in the Attitude Era. It would still sell, but I think he would cause himself more headaches than it would be worth.
I would have to agree now with Mark on that too, because I'd have to agree on you on that now too, because about the lawsuit thing, for the fact that
the only way it would work is if they did an after.
Yeah.
Right. You'd have to do an after midnight show. Whatever. I mean, because when Glow came out.
Yeah.
Yeah. When Glow came out back in the day, it was broadcast late at night because it was kind of risque, and it was nowhere near risque. But if you did something now with the woman's thing, you'd have to have it branched off and put it on its own show, and it would have to happen after hours when all the children are in bed.
Right. I think people would take, like you said, people would take offense to that because there'd be more, I don't know, like we see a little bit of sex appeal now, can't say like how it used to be worse. I mean, you know.
It wasn't worse. It was just marketed differently.
Right.
Now when a woman comes out, they show her whole body. I mean, the last entrance to me that was one of those that you look at and you go, holy cow, this is like hot, was probably Velvet Sky. When she'd bend over and say, let the pigeons loose, that was hot. That wasn't WWE broadcast, but that was, you know, risque. I don't think there's anything since her that's been anywhere near that level.
Right. I mean, I was just going to say about, like, you know, you're trying to create the PG-13 show, and the whole brown panties thing might be a little offensive, again, to some people. And like you said, there could be those lawsuits, but I mean, it would sell. But again, at the same time, you get half positive and half negative, and be like, I'm suing you because you are stating this is a PG show. My son, who's only 6 years old, cannot watch this crap. Something like that. Like you'd have those anal parents like that.
Yeah, I get what you're saying on that. But one last question before we go to my point of views of the week. It seems like Impact is trying to do, like with this Scarlet chick, like trying to bring sexy back into the women's division. So I don't know if y'all caught any of that. I think that happened this past Thursday, I believe.
Are you talking about Scarlett Boudreaux?
Yeah.
I didn't see it. I have a DVR'd. I think she's very sexy. She was sexy before she was on TV. She was on with ROH as a redhead. I think she's back now as a blonde, if I'm not mistaken. She's a very hot individual. I've never seen her wrestle, per se. I know she's classified as a wrestler, and I'm not going to take that away from her. But if she has skills in the ring, she does have the potential to bring that back. I don't know if you guys are familiar. Well, yeah, I know you guys are familiar with her. Rob Van Dam's real life girlfriend. She's very voluptuous. She's not under contract with WWE or TNA or anybody, but she could bring sexy back as well, just because of her voluptuous. She's not the typical blonde. She's a brunette. But Scarlett, yeah, she's definitely very attractive.
Really?
I guess I would have to look her up. Am I familiar with her? Because I'm not familiar with the name at all.
I don't know if you'd be familiar with her name. She's very attractive. If you saw her before, you'd recognize her. She was like when Veda Scott was around, the first time she was around the same time as that, I can't say that she had any championships or any accolades that I can recall. Just that she's a very attractive female who works in the wrestling industry.
Yeah, I don't watch ROH on TV, so I'm not really sure. I mean, I've been to a couple ROH shows, so I really... is it Scarlett or is it Skylar?
No, it's Scarlett.
You're talking about Scarlett, the one they announced her? Her?
She was the ROH announcer
back then, I believe, right?
I think I know who you're talking about.
I think I know who you guys are talking about.
I've never seen her actually wrestle, but I think she's
right,
a wrestler.
Yeah, I think I know who you guys are talking about. Interesting.
Right, because is she marketing herself as she's an actual wrestler now, right?
I don't know, but I think I've seen her. I think I know who you guys are talking about.
But I don't know if she's like actually going to be wrestling in Impact Wrestling, but they just had like some segments with her, like she made her debut or something last week. Did like a little sexy thing by licking the microphone and walking off.
Yeah, and I think that's them grasping at straws, because that show was a legitimate contender. And at one point they had a lot of talent that the WWE had, and they were somewhat of a threat, but right now they're lucky still to be on broadcast TV. Nobody watches it.
And the issue with that is, like, they need to be on regular TV. Like, not like, I'm just saying, like, with the ABC or something like that. Just something that, you know, if somebody decided to get, you know, local cable channels or something like that, or just regular basic channels, they should be on, at least on one of those. But go ahead.
I was going to say, like, ROH is on local TV as well. I'm sure you can pick it up on cable stations. And ROH right now, I think, is the biggest threat to WWE, where Impact or TNA or whatever you want to call it was really big 3 years ago, maybe. But right now, I couldn't even tell you half the people on the roster. And I used to watch it, but I don't know. It's just not appealing.
Okay, before we get to the point of view, can I make a big announcement?
Okay,
so, of course, I have wrestling friends and I have wrestling peeps. We all know that. I have you two as well, because you guys are, you know, my co-host. Okay, so I have some wrestling news that there's NXT maybe coming to Milwaukee.
Fine. I'm about to say, they should have announced that.
So... for all the fans who don't know this, and the source is possibly pretty good, but it could be subject to change. Unfortunately, it is on a weeknight. It is December 6th on Thursday, and it will sell out because it always does. It's at Turner Hall again.
Do you have any idea when they may go on sale?
Okay, you guys are talking at the same time. What?
You can go first.
So I was saying that they're doing it on a December this time. I thought they probably, yeah, I was thinking they probably would have done it at least before you know, the Raw show that's going to be here in November come in town. I thought they would have done that for that.
Okay, so for anybody who doesn't know and who's listening to our show, Monday Night Raw is possibly coming here in Milwaukee November 26th.
Yeah, so did your source happen to also theorize when tickets may possibly be going on sale?
I did not go that far because it was a very short source phone call.
All right, I was just wondering if you had, like, end of September.
No,
I would
if tickets for Raw might go on sale next month, because they go on sale a month or two in advance. Usually, so I'm thinking October for NXT. It's going to be very quick.
Yeah, that's probably too. Yeah, that's what I'm thinking too. They're probably going to do something in October for like NXT if it's going to be coming
very,
in December.
Very, very quick.
So you said Thursday, December 6th for NXT?
Yes. 6th, yes.
Which I'm not going to be very surprised because they've always done NXT here for the past couple of years on a weekday. So this is not, like, surprising to me because Milwaukee would be their very first stop before they go to, like, Green Bay, Chicago, or Madison, or wherever they're going to go right after Milwaukee. So them doing this on a weeknight is not a surprise to me.
Right, like how the rumor is with Monday Night Raw coming. I mean, I wish they would change it to a SmackDown show, but I guess it's better for me to do, because from what I'm hearing, Monday Night Raw is going to be here. Tuesday Night SmackDown is going to be in Minnesota, Minneapolis. They're going to pull that card.
Right, but knowing, you know, with WWE, you know, things can change, because but then again, who knows? But right now, we're probably just going to end up going with that. But let's get to my point of views of the week. So we're going to start with Carrie for your point of view of the week.
Hey, do you always pick me first? Okay.
Ladies first.
Okay, so my point of view of the week is, I've said it through in the show, my point of view pretty much is, WWE needs to listen to me, AJ, and Mark. Stop putting in filler matches. Stop interfering in the matches. We don't want to see this every week. You guys were doing so well 2 weeks ago with your shows, and then all of a sudden, you both totally bombed it. SummerSlam is in 2 weeks. We cannot afford to bomb shows. Let's get these predictions in order that we've talked about this week, and let's get this SummerSlam great. That is all.
my point of view for the week is, you need to keep both your shows consistently good, or you're going to lose viewers and fan base. I'm a prime example. You lost me as a viewer for Monday Night Raw because I DVR'd the show, expecting to watch it later. However, SmackDown left such a bad taste in my mouth, I was done with WWE broadcast, and I chose to explore other wrestling. So my point of view of the week is, you definitely need to improve upon both your shows and keep them like you had energy going a few weeks ago to keep people captivated. So you need to do a much better job and step it up.
Okay, here's my point of view of the week. If y'all remember a local wrestler named Sadus, right?
Yeah.
Oh, I heard about him. He's retiring.
Yes, he is going to be retiring. So his last match is going to be at Stadium. I think it's going to be like late this month. in Green Bay. So if y'all get a chance to see this wonderful performer, he's like my favorite wrestler in the Wisconsin scene. So y'all go check out his last match. I will put out more information on Stadium Medium. I think it's by Wisconsin Pro Wrestling. Because normally they have the show like the day before, day after BCW normally would have their show. But I guess they decided to just, you know, put it later than usual. But people get a chance, go see Sadus in his last match, and it would be interesting. Just put it that way. So
yeah,
it's
going to be really sad to see. I haven't seen Sadus wrestle in a while. It's going to be really sad. Do you know why he's retiring? Because I don't. I heard a rumor that there's a possibility that he got in somewhere professionally. I don't know. I mean, somebody's announced a retirement and then they came back. It was another independent wrestler. It's Stacey Shadow's fiance now. He retired too, but he's now wrestling again. Dude, who is that, Mark? Oh. What's his name? Paul.
The Roadblock?
Oh, I think, is that who it is? The one that teams up with Priest at MEPW?
Well, she's married to him now. Over lately, he's been with Jim. What's his name? Jim Blaze. But yeah, you're talking about Roadblock, I think.
Right, I am.
Roadhouse, not Roadblock.
Yeah,
Roadhouse.
I am.
Boy, me having a mental block of a local wrestler when I watch more indie stuff than I do professional. You threw me for a loop there. Yeah. She's actually married to him.
Oh, yeah.
Roadhouse.
See, I didn't even know they got married.
And he's been tag teaming with Britt's boyfriend.
Hmm. Yeah, it goes to show I'm out of the independent wrestling loop. My schedule's really been busy. And life has changed, you know. Marriage.
Right, but like I said, if anybody get a chance, go see the Sadus last match and support him and support some of the independent wrestling. Wherever you like the person who runs it or you hate some of the wrestlers, at least show them support.
And some of them want to be there. That's the point.
What's that?
Said some of them want you to hate them. That's the whole point of being a heel.
Some of them, I'll say personal reasons on some of them. But anyway, we're going to end the show from there. Thank you guys for listening, and check out our other shows this coming week. We will be back here next Sunday to talk about our top 10 women's wrestlers. So that should be interesting.
Peace.
That would be very interesting to hear everybody's list. Yes. Again, peace, love, and chicken grease, everyone.
Peace.
Good night, everybody.
That's right.
And
good
night. You get to hear from me Thursday and get to hear from Hazel on Wednesday. So good night, everybody.
Night.